Just want to do a short introduction to our mission trip. Actually, guys, you want to, you can sit down here. Yeah. Last year, we felt it was our youth had, it was about time that our youth take a next step in their walk, and that we should take a look at a short-term mission trip. And we felt that a good number of them were ready for this. And anyways, we prayed about it, and of course, our immediate reaction to mission trips is Caribbean, you know, Mexico, South America, places that are nice and warm, nice beaches, green water, you know. But it just wasn't happening. There seemed to be barrier after barrier after barrier, and after a while, I guess we started realizing the Lord was trying to tell us something. And about that time, two missionaries from up north, David and Joanna Bauk, who are good friends of the Simpridges and stay with him, they happened to be down, and David said, "Why don't you come up north?" And of course, our immediate reaction is north. Well, you know, well, okay. But the funny part was everything started falling in place. It was just amazing. And this is what the Lord wanted. And Dave had to come all the way down to talk to us about it. And of course, Joe and I sometimes got thick skulls, but you know, finally started realizing that, yeah, this is what we're supposed to do. So we talked to the kids about it, and they all said, "That's interesting, going north." And basically, as I said, everything started falling in place. And we spent a lot of time. We gathered on Sunday nights, and we prayed about it, and got ourselves spiritually ready for this particular trip. A lot of apprehension, because we'd have no idea what we're getting involved in, what we're going to. But the thing is that it started falling together. And we did a little bit of fundraising, not much. The Lord seemed to provide the funds that we needed. And the fundraising that we did do was basically more of an outreach, I guess. Because I remember we did car washes, and somebody, we were asking, what should we charge for car wash? And somebody said, "Well, don't charge anything. You know? Just say if they want to give something, that's fine." And I don't think we'd ever get as much money from a car wash that we did by asking for $5 a car to do it. We had one fellow come up to us and gave us $90 cash to wash a rusty old Ford truck, because he was really impressed with us going up there. But I don't want to get in the details of the particular trip, because I want the youth to do it. And I'm going to ask Joel to come up here, and we're going to start off with a slideshow that you can share. Some of you have already seen it. We've done this at Tim's Pentecostals already, and we've done a presentation at South Perkins Pentecostal. We've done it at Youth Rally, and apparently we're supposed to go to First Baptist too on this road around. But we thought we'd better do it here at our home church. So I'm going to leave it to Joel now.
So these are just a few pictures from our trip, and this is more kind of like showing just the fun part of the trip more, and then we'll explain more after with the testimonials. So there's group picture number one. And this, when we went up there, it's like, I don't know, it's like a 12-hour drive, but like for 10 of those hours, you're on like a blank highway that there's nothing. And so this was our last like stop in like, I don't know, reality, because like that's like the last fast food restaurant we ever saw, and there's like not even Tim Hortons up there. Like, it's crazy. And this is on the way, these are just some pictures on the way, and this is Rupert House River, and it's like these really cool rapids. And one thing we tried to do was in every place, because it was Make a New Friend Day the day that we drove up there, so every place we stopped we tried making a new friend. And the funny thing about the A&W was we had taken a picture with the girl who was working the cash. And then when we came back from her trip, she was working again. So we got to see her again. So it was kind of funny. And then, yeah, so we made, like, every place we stopped, there happened to be someone in the middle of nowhere. And this is the hotel we stayed at, motel. And it was the Motel Bay James, definitely 5-star. These are the rooms. The sheets smell like grandpa. Me and Brandon were like, did they wash these? And Steve had to sleep on this little cot thing. And this is like, while we were in Radisson, we had like time to kill till 3 o'clock. So we just went to like this little, they had like, I don't know what it was, but it was like a museum kind of thing. And so they had these big animals, which were cool. And that whole wall was plugs, like little outlet plug thingies. And so it looked like we were newscasters. So we felt really special. And this is Jesse climbing a tree, number one. And Jesse climbed like every tree he saw up there. And this is, yeah, self-explanatory. And this is Wally and Joe, the first day. This is like 6 hours into the drive up. This is at the museum some more. And then now this is the La Grande River Airport. And it was like nicer than the airport in Timmins. Oh. And this is where we're going. Jesse showed us where we're going. And that's James Bay or Hudson Bay. I always get them mixed up. What? Hudson Bay. And so we're right in Kujarapik, which is right there. And this is cleanup in aisle one. We made so many messes at the airport. And there's another cleanup. And then we all sat still just to make sure we didn't do anything. And this is Jesse on the airplane. And one thing, when you meet Jesse, you notice, like, he's always smiling. So even in that barf bag, he's smiling. The plane. When I thought the plane was coming, I thought we were going to get, like, a nice plane. And it was my first time on a plane, so I'm getting in, like, this metal, like, rusty old plane. I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? It looked like something you'd keep, like, animals in or something. And the seats were, like, this wide. It's like, it looked like a cargo plane. That's what it looked like. This is Kristen, scared. It was her first time on a plane, too. So we were screaming. This is leaving La Grande to Kujarapik, and it was a 45-minute plane ride to get to Kujarapik. And all the lakes made cool shapes. There's, like, turtles and question marks and everything. And this is the home that we stayed at. That's Dave and Joanna's house right there. And this is group picture number two. And yeah, this is like one of my favorites because we drove all around that town in that little trailer thing. And it was like I didn't want to go back to real cars. It's fun. You don't even have to wear seatbelts. And this is the Northern store. And it was kind of cool because when I was little, I used to live in Moosonee, which is up north too. And so when I saw the Northern store, I was like, yes, because there's a Northern store in Moosonee. So it brought a lot of memories back. And this is the Inuit homes. The Inuit homes are like semi-houses or duplexes, whatever you call them. And then, like, they don't have basements. And I think Dave said that, like, there's, like, 15 to 20 people living in each house. Because there's, like, a big lack of housing up there and stuff. And this is at Dave and Joanna's house, and Kristen's really happy. She's sitting on her luggage or something. We were off the plane, so. And this is the front window, like the view. If you ignored the graveyard, you got this really nice view of like the sunset on the ocean. You just kind of put your hand there, and then you get there. And this is Elaine and Minnie's house. And this is an example of a Cree home. They had, like, a little bit nicer homes. Like, they're just one houses, and they had basements. That was the difference. Like, and that's Elaine and Minnie's house. And they were, like, the host for the girls. the girls stayed there. And then, yeah, that's where the church is, too. It's in their basement. And this is the gym. And this is where we did an outreach to, like, the teenagers and stuff, because they'd always go there and play games. It was free and stuff, which was really cool. And it's like really nice, too. It's like a three-court gym. It was huge. This is Wally and Sally. And this is our PBS we did. It was called Digging for God's Treasures. It was like Truth Trek. So it kind of fit because there's like barely any grass there. There's just sand. So it fit like all the sandy theme and stuff. And this is we were supposed to like cut out the palm trees and tape them to the wall. And I was like, why don't we just use the roll as like a stump and then put leaves on it? But it didn't stay up. So I guess trees don't grow so well up north. And this is practicing for the songs and stuff that we did with the kids. And this is our first day, and it was like packed down there, and it's like this little basement, and it was super warm. It was like after all the singing, everybody's like jumping around and everything. You're like, ugh. And this is one of the games that we do with like the different grades. We do different games. Like this one is like a dig one, and Sally would put little rocks in the sand, and they'd have to find them with sifters or whatever. And they really like those. And this is arts and crafts, I think, which Beatrice and Brandon did. And this is more arts and crafts. They made little crosses. And there's their finished products. And there's another craft we did. That's my favorite. I love that craft. Oh, this is me teaching a lesson. I was supposed to be Joseph. Yeah. My costume was a bedsheet. So I don't think that it was kind of hard because the first day, like you have to kind of like learn from your mistakes. Cause like we kind of did the lesson, like, you know, like we took them outside, which really distracted them because all their bikes were at the side. So they all grabbed their bikes right away and started biking around. So they're like, oh, so we better keep the lessons inside. And then this is one of my favorite games. It was like this, you can't really see it, but like they all got in a line and then the one person at the front would have a ball, and they'd have to hit the person at the back. But it was cool because everybody would be running around and tripping. And this was snack time. And that's Inuka, and I don't remember his name. Well, I don't. And this kid was so smart. They love coming to Dave's house. It's like they are always early for the VBS because there's nothing else to do there. And so we had this craft. And so what he did was him and his friend left their craft there so they could come back later and get it and then spend more time at Dave's house. So it was funny. And this is, okay, Brandon, like the kids like absolutely love Brandon. They like the first day they like tackled him and everything. And then it was really funny. And this is our singing. And this is group picture number 3. And this is, I think this is like third day VBS. And this is just more. And this is our Truth Trek videos we did. And they were like videos and we had all like little dances to do to them and it was really funny. And this is Dawn. And Isaiah, I think. And this is Pamela. Pamela, she was funny. She, like, named everybody. Like, she had, like, a whole family going. Like, I was dad, B's mom, and then Kristen was grandma, and Brandon was grandpa, but Wally put big brother. Joe was, like, great, 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 grandpa. But then there was, like, she ran out of, like, family names, so she decided, I think it was Jesse and Victor and Steven, they just called them, like, donkey and pig and horse. So we had farm animals, too. And it's actually supposed to be mom, but, like, put big sister. There's Brandon. This is Wally's favorite. These are whenever like the it was so hard to get them to leave because like Like, they would not want to leave and everything, and they'd be, like, all, like, huggy and everything. And then, like, you'd have to go outside the door and be like, you want a hug? And they'd all come out, and then you'd shut the door to get them out. But I remember one day Beatrice was trying to get him up the stairs, and this whole, like, army of kids came, and they're all attacking her at the bottom of the stairs. And she's like, help me, Joel. And I was just videotaping it. It was funny. I did not put this picture in here. I was not saying that either. Misquoting me. But it's kind of, it looks so funny. Look at his facial expression. He's like, what? This is bikes. And this is the weight room, which was super nice in the gym. And this is just like one court of the gym, and behind that like blue thing, that blue curtain, there's another court, and then there's another court. And what was funny was Jesse and Steve and Victor, I think it was, and Nick, I don't know. But yeah, they all like somehow got on like this hockey team, which was funny. And then there's more playing hockey. And then this is just volleyball and basketball that we played. We like played volleyball like every night. And then, yeah, somehow they won. And so, yeah, they like won the Kucherovic Stanley Cup. And then Victor got MVP. And they just like joined this hockey team, which it was funny. They just... And then there's the Stanley Cup, and Jesse's like, yes. It's my dream. And this is an Inukshuk. And it was like, it was huge. I couldn't climb to the top, but Jesse did. And like it was like right in front of like the water and everything. So you got, I guess you got a nice view of the water and stuff. And this is the beaches. And the beaches were so nice. And like if the water was warm, it'd be like a resort or something. Because the beaches were like 10 feet long. I mean, 10 billion feet long. And there's a jellyfish. And I didn't know they were purple. I thought they were always like pink and like little tentacles. This is Jesse. And there was actually icebergs in the water. And this is that low tide. Oh, this is funny because there's this video they have. And Jesse had set his camera up on the sand, and he took a video of him and Steve jumping in the water, and then Wally's in the background. Because Dave had told us, like, horror stories of people freezing in the water, so Wally's in the background. Guys, come back! And he's all yelling. And then, yeah, they had to taste the water. That was my favorite part, I have to say. I love that. And this is our chauffeur. And that's, everybody there drove like those four-wheeler things all over. And if they had a car, it had like a dent in it or a broken window. There was like not one full car except for the mayor's. They were all broken. And this is the Great Royal River. And at like where the Great Royal River and the ocean meet, that's where people would swim. Because the river, there's an undertow. But if you, like at that opening, there's no undertow. So they can swim there. And it's warm from the water from the river. And there's caribou skulls. And there's like a couple of those all over the place. And it was really cool because down where that sand is, if you were like there, you actually could see. But I don't know, it's hard to see in the picture. But there's like these huge sand dunes. And I wanted to go so bad. And this is a huge fish they caught. That Ale and Minnie caught. And then... this is the food. And this is me and Brandon doing dishes. And Brandon is like the pickiest person to do dishes with. Because if there was one little soap bubble, like I'm not even kidding, like one little teeny bubble, he'd be like, you have to rewash it. No, just dry it off. And this is the good dog in town. Because all the dogs would travel in gangs. But this one was good. And he just hung outside. His name is Sparky, but it was funny because me and Jesse were walking down the street. All of a sudden we hear like all this fighting and everything, like dogs fighting. We look and on someone's doorstep, there's like a bunch of dogs fighting. And then we were going to go take pictures, but then they ran away when we came. And this is just before or after the VBS. It looks like after because everybody's tired. Joe had, I mean, Dave had all these little mind-twisting games. They were really hard to do. This is funny. Oh no, what happened? I don't know what happened. This is Jesse sleeping on chairs. And there's Nick sleeping on a couch. And this is when we went to LA's cabin in the bush. And this is Sally. This is the view from the front of his cabin. And this is his shack in the woods. Oop. And it's actually not a shack, but... And this is like, they made us at a Inuit meal or whatever, and then there was goose. And there's goose and bannock, and then they had dumplings and stuff. And goose tastes... We analyzed what goose tastes like, and we decided it tastes like a mix of liver, turkey, and beef. This is our food. Okay, there's this funny video of Wally and Joe singing. What song did we sing? Leaning on the Promises, or that's on the Everlasting Arms. And so, yeah, it's really funny. And it was like right after this picture. And there they are. Oh, I didn't know we had a picture of it. It was funny when we were in that cabin. Alan decided to show us some music, and Beatrice is staying there. And all of a sudden, this huge speaker falls off the roof and lands right beside her. I was like, God was protecting you. And this is shooting a gun. And this is like my first time shooting a gun too. Well, that's not me, but I mean, it was my first time. And so everybody shot, and he put a little bit of lipstick on a plate, and then he put it out there, and we had to shoot the lipstick. And Brandon won, but I was this close to... Yeah, but not the first time. And this is Jesse climbing a tree again. Oh, so there's a story behind this. So we're driving back. We were all three of us were in the, and Jesse was in the front, and like we were in the back of the trailer. And then I guess there's a certain, like, you had to even out your weight or something, but we didn't. And so what happened was all the weight was in the back. So when we were going up this hill, the trailer like unhitched, and all of a sudden I just see Dawn, because she was on the back of the four wheeler, and she's going farther away, and I'm like, and I realized we're going backwards, and so I thought I was gonna die. Like, I was so scared, and I was screaming, and it was so scary. And Jesse had his camera, and he was, like, taking pictures somehow, and he falls out, and his shoe flies off. This is more. This is after. And this is group picture number 4. This one was in the newspaper. And this is when we're leaving. And that was, we had to, like, sit in this little room waiting for the plane. And these are our guests. There's LA and Minnie, and then David and Joanna Bouk. And this is the sunset we saw every night. And that's it.
So that just gives you a taste of what was happening. Now you're going to hear the real story of what happened. And we're going to have the kids just sort of describe how this trip affected them. I'm going to ask Joel maybe just to introduce it, and then following that, we're going to have a drama. And this is the drama that we gave to the kids that were up there, the teenagers and that. So, Joel?
Okay. So, if you guys want to come up here, and then we'll use that mic. And so, yeah, I don't know what I'm supposed to introduce, really. Okay, well, we're all going to give our, like, testimonials of what happened on the trip. And Steve can start.
Is this on? Okay, this is on. All right, so Yes, I'm giving a different testimony almost each time I'm saying this, because there's so much that happened to us. You can't describe, each one of us can't describe this with 2 or 3 minutes of talking to you. I guess the big thing on my mind today was how I thought of God and the devil before this trip. To me, like, they're both up there. God was, as you learned in Sunday school, God's always the most powerful of the two. You can do anything through God. And then there's the devil. He's like trying to tempt you, but you can always do something with God. You can always overcome the devil. And that's kind of how I thought of life. I guess I didn't really take the devil really seriously, because I'd never seen him do the worst things he can possibly do. But when we got down there, like, Dave describes the town as having a sign outside that says, "Welcome to Hell." And that's really true. Like, the amount of stuff that goes on there, the abuse, there's rape, everything. Like, kids get into this stuff when they're maybe 4 or 5. Once they start getting into trouble, they're pretty much on their own. Many of them kind of, they wake up in the morning and just have to leave. They get kicked out. Can't come in for lunch, because then the parents would actually have to do work for their children. That's not something parents like to do. So anyways, like, back to what I was talking about before, where you have just seeing what's happened, like how bad the devil can be, what he can actually do. It's unbelievable, like the attacks he actually can do. Even when I got back from the trip, like, I got attacked. Wally knows this. I'm still getting attacked from that. That happened 5 months ago. He's still mad at what we did. Wally's always said, if you're getting attacked, that means you're doing something right. So I'm just going to end off by saying what we did was definitely what God wanted, and it was right.
All right, so this trip was an absolutely amazing experience. And one of the things it definitely did for me was pushing my comfort zones a bit, so to say. Even coming up here and singing, there is no way that I would have done that 5 months ago. And just the little things that pushed yourself past your limits on that trip, it was just awesome. And it allows you to do so much more, not just spiritually, but just in everyday sort of things. And it's really helped me to become a better person because of that trip. Like Steve was saying, it's really a scary place. Going there, we had no idea what to expect. I know I was scared. I'm sure the others had some fears lingering inside of them. But it's a terrifying place. As Steve said, the rapes, the abuse that goes on there, the suicide rate is 22%. So 1 out of 5 people in their life will commit suicide. And it's terrifying. But having said that, being put in that terrifying place and not knowing what to do, it develops that reliance on God, and you get that much closer to Him, and you put your faith in Him that much more, and it really helped me to develop that much of a closer relationship with Him. So it was really great. And this trip just did so much for me, and it brought me closer to a lot of people, and I'm sure it did a lot for everyone else as well.
Well, a couple things I learned. One being, don't get between them and the net when they have a puck and a hockey stick. Funny story too. On the way up there, we thought we had everything packed and ready to go. And then, sorry, Powers. The morning after, we stayed at the motel. We're eating breakfast, and Powers asks if we can go to one of the markets or a corner store or something. And of course we ask him why, and he goes, "Well, I forgot my boxers and socks." So we couldn't find anything there. So when we got up to Kudryavik, Dave said to go to either Northern Store or the co-op, and of course, I think it was the co-op that he went to. He spent almost. Almost $60 on six pairs of boxers and six pairs of socks.
All right, well, when we were planning this, I really didn't know what to expect at all from when we would get there. When we got there, what I noticed really about the people is that they have this, I don't know, this sadness about them. Like, they were friendly when we waved to them, but you could tell that there's something wrong, and there is something really wrong in that town. There's abuse, and there's, like, all the stuff that they were talking about before, like the suicide rate, and there is a lot of sadness in that town. And you could feel, like, the presence of Satan, because it's not a good town. There's a lot of, I don't know, Satan worship in the town. And I don't know, it was just good that we could go there and, like, teach them about God and try to help them out a bit, and bring them the word, like, we're the light. Supposed to be the light of the world, and I'm glad we could go there just to bring them the light and hope that we had a good effect on them. Like, they were very friendly because we got to play hockey with them and volleyball, and that was a lot of fun, by the way. The hockey, anyway. They were all friendly, but you could really tell that they were having trouble. And I don't know, I was just happy to be able to go there and help them out, and it really brought me out of my comfort zone, for sure, because I was quite quiet before, and I still am quiet, but I know it helped me to be more confident. And like before, I wouldn't have come up here to talk at all. That would be quite a frightening thing for you. And I don't know, it just helped me in that way.
Okay, so I just want to add that out of the six underwear that Brandon got, three of the ones he got were extra small and the other three were extra large. But yeah, going up north, I had no idea what to expect. It was completely different from here. Like, you wouldn't even expect that kind of stuff would happen in Canada. Like, it was terrible. Like, the kids, they get abused every night and every day, and they feel like they have no one that loves them. Like, absolutely. And they come to our VBS, and they're completely, like, smiling and trying to get as much out of those 2 hours as they can. And they even, like, as Joel said, like, they came back after trying to leave their crafts there so they could spend more time with us. And we were just, like, pooched from the day because it was so hot down there. But it was just so amazing to show God's love to these kids and, like, the things they go through. Like, Pamela, that girl that gave us all those names, she, when she was little, I guess her parents abandoned her. So she got put in a foster home, like, a couple hours more north in Saluit. But somehow she ended up back in Kajarapik. And every day she goes around the town seeing her mom every day. And they don't even talk. Like, that must be so hard. I don't know how I would do that if I was that kid. And so many kids go through that. Like, Ali, the guy that us girls and Wally, well, Wally's one of the girls. No, I'm just kidding. But no, like, LA, he had taken a kid because he teaches at the high school there. So he had taken, like, a kid out to Skidoo for a fishing trip or something in the winter. And then the kid was having, like, a great time. They were, like, joking around and stuff. But once night hit, the kid started bawling, and LA had no idea what was wrong with his kid. And then the boy realized that he was alone in a room with an older man, and he thought he was going to get beaten that night, and he just couldn't stop crying. But Elliot got to calm him down and stuff. But yeah, also, like, Elliot, well, Minnie's daughter, Ellie, like, married Minnie later after, and she's around, like, 25, maybe, I don't know, but she has a 4-year-old daughter, too, and her name's Josephine, like, the mother and the daughter's Destiny. And Josephine has gone through so much. Minnie is, like, a worker with suicide, and she had to take time off because it's just too much. There's too much problems going on there. She couldn't handle it. And her own daughter tried committing suicide, and she had to, like, take her off the crate or whatever she was standing on. She actually had to grab her off of there, and it was just so hard. And, like, the first night we were at Allie and Minnie's, Dave's wife, what was her name again? Joanne, yes, Joanne, sorry. She's like, yeah, so when we have church in Allie's basement, like last week, we heard footsteps upstairs and no one was there, so good luck. And we're like, me and Kristen are just like, what? Like, you're sending us there, and oh my goodness, like, we prayed that night so much, me and Dawn and Kristen, we were so scared. But God protected us, like, that whole time. Like, when we were at Elliot's cottage and that speaker fell, like, before I had went to sit down there, like, I felt like I wasn't supposed to be sitting there. It was really weird. Like, I had this feeling. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to sit there. But I'm like, why wouldn't I sit there? So I went and I moved my chair over a bit, and then the speaker fell. And I was like, wow, that's just God. And it was crazy. And then on our last night, Josephine, she had went over to her boyfriend's, which is like a complete mess. Like, he has parties all the time there, and the house is just a mess. And like, sometimes Ellie and Minnie would find Destiny, the little 4-year-old, wandering around at night, just in the middle of the city. And it's so sad. And Josephine had to escape from her boyfriend because he was threatening them. And she had to come to our house with Destiny. And Ellie was just so scared that she'd go back to her boyfriend again, because that's all, she always goes back, and it's just so hard. And so we woke up the next morning, and Josephine wasn't there, but she had left Destiny there. And there was, Ellie had talked to Josephine about God and stuff that night, and Josephine left a note that said, I'll call in the morning, and she put a cross at the bottom of the note. And she called, and she had ran to her grandparents' house, because it was just too much of a danger to stay there. And Ellie was like, don't worry, if the boyfriend comes around knocking on the house, he won't come in. And me and Kristen are just freaking out. It's so scary. But yeah, God protected us so much on the trip. I think there's a lot that he like sheltered us from, but he had exposed us to just enough. And it was really a cool trip.
Okay, well, when we first started planning this, I was really excited and I was really happy and stuff. And, like, it just seemed like a really exciting trip. And then once we got there, I think it kind of hit me that, like, I felt like I wasn't ready, because, I mean, you're never really ready for a mission trip completely, because once you get there, you just realize that it's like, it's more than expected. Especially when Dave told us that, that area was the devil's playground and stuff. And it was just really like, it was just really overwhelming, but not in a good way sometimes. So it was really hard, and I had to keep everyone in my prayers. And there's one verse that I remembered over and over again, and it's Joshua 1:9. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I had to remember that. I know it's just like a simple little verse, but for some reason, it just really helped me out. And I really liked being able to just come back after, like, from a long day VBS, come back to Dave and, or not Dave and Joanna's, Minnie and Ally's house, and pray with Beatrice and Dawn. It was really nice to just talk about our day and stuff. And the VBS was the beginning. It was, like, it was really fun. But then once we got to really know the kids, we kind of realized, like, we didn't want to say goodbye. We didn't want to leave them at the end of VBS during that day, because you don't know where they're going back to. Like, you have no idea. And after hearing all those stories, it was really hard to just, to let them go and to say goodbye and maybe not see them the next day. It was really rough. And so we kind of just made sure that we got really close with those kids, and we gave them every ounce of love that we could. And the affection that they gave us was amazing. I mean, like, just imagine a child who is being abused from someone for so long, and then just being able to give themselves completely to somebody, like a complete stranger. That was just, it was amazing. So the hugs that we got, they were really encouraging. And then the prayers that we got from everyone was really encouraging too. So thank you.
Well, I'd like to start before actually we went on the trip, because we had a group from Louisiana, thanks to Mrs. Farron. And they came up here and did VBS in Timmins, and we helped them out with that instead of, because they usually go to Calgary, and they were asked if they could come here instead. And so they did it with us, and then they showed us, like, the things we could do and just, like, how to work with kids, just to give us a little bit more experience that we already had. And there was this one kid that like, I could not handle, and he was, like, I don't know, just hyper and, like, seeking attention and just crazy. And there's a guy I talk to all the time, and I asked him for advice, and he said that maybe God's preparing you for the trip up north, and he was. And another thing, like, usually here, then an average day for me on a school day would be, you know, get up, breakfast, everything, and then say your prayers, and then just before you leave for school, this is what you hear. Did you make your bed? And so I'd have to go all the way back upstairs, make the bed, you know, put my shoes back on and leave. And when we went on the missions trip, and you saw those Inuit houses, and they have like 15 to 20 people in one house because of the lack of houses. And sometimes, like, even people in Timmins have to share maybe some, like, a bunk bed. And at our house, we have separate rooms and stuff. And it just made me open my eyes to how much we take for granted, and just how much we don't deserve that we're given. There's this, like, the sign out there says Jesus paid a bill he didn't owe, and we owed the bill that we couldn't pay. And another thing is, on the last day of our VBS, there was, I think it was a science activity or something and then this guy in a truck was sent by the mayor over to David and Joanna's house he was telling all the kids, like, when we were having our outside activities, and he was telling all the kids that there was a picnic, and some of those kids get, like, maybe a hot dog for the whole day, or a bottle of pop. And I just felt like, okay, if they want to go, we have to let them go, because it's not our choice, it's their choice. And not one of those kids left. They finished their games, and then they had their snack, and then they left. And it just made me feel so happy that we were accepted that much.
So, on this trip, like, one of the things, like, that really, like, surprised me was how much I had been, like, how much, like, it opened my eyes to, like, the terrible things that were going on. Like, when I first went to go there, I was thinking, like, oh, we're just going to do a VBS, maybe a youth rally or something, and bring some teens to Christ. But when I got there, it surprised me to see how much abuse and how much, like, pain those people go through, and it was just it was such a surprise. But then, like, when Dave and Allie were telling us the stories and everything, it was such an eye-opener to what is going on in our own country. And one of the things that really, like, got to me was when, like, he told us about, like, when, like, these kids go home, like, they get, like, their grandfather, because, like, they all live in the same home, like, their grandfather's gonna beat them, then they're gonna go down to their dad's just gonna beat them, and then their older brothers are gonna beat them. And it was just like, it's just like, wow, like, do these kids don't know anything better than that. That's how, like, that's all they see. That's what they've had from birth. They don't have lives like we do. That's all they know is abuse, and all they don't even know what love from a parent is like. They, like, it was just like, when you look at it, like, if you put yourself in the position of that kid, like, what would, like, would you be the 78% that lived, or would you be the 22% that lived? I mean, that commit suicide. But, like, when you think about it, like, everything that those people go through is normal for them. It's normal to be beaten. It's normal to be abused. And, like, you went to the gym, you're playing volleyball, the girls go to bounce, or the guys or whatever go to bounce, you see the cut marks on them, because that's the only escape they have. The only, like, they're so angry, and they think it's their fault that they're like that. Like, they think it's their fault that they're being abused. So they get angry and they want to hurt themselves. It's just like, it's sad just to see that. Like, even the one woman in the church, like, she had such a hard life. Like, she was an older woman, but still she was cutting herself. Like, it's real. It's something real. Like,
this is not an exaggeration at all. I'm probably under-exaggerating. But seriously, like, if you look at it, like, where would you be if you were in that situation? Would you be the 23% or would you be the 78%? It's just, it's like, it's sad. Like, imagine going, living there and, like, looking at the person beside you and not knowing if they'd be alive tomorrow, not knowing if they were ready to give up. And that's just, like, one thing that we have to look at. And I just want to thank everybody here for giving their money to this. And you guys did something amazing, and you helped with such an amazing cause. And I just really want to thank everybody here for just giving to this. And it's just amazing to see, like, what the Lord is doing in us, and what the impact we put on those kids, and we showed them love for probably one of the first times in their lives. And I just want to thank you, everybody, for that. And I thank God for keeping us safe and making it able for us to get there.
Thanks, guys. Well, they're getting ready for the drama. I'd just like to add a few things. What they're saying is not an exaggeration. This is real. And for Sally and I and Don and Joe, it was an eye-opener for us, too. Like, I never realized how bad things could be in our own country. I mean, we have third world here. And we saw it. I mean, the teenagers, like, they're out all night. You can hear them go running back and forth in the middle of the night, you know, middle of the morning, actually, in the four-wheelers. But the reason they do it is that they don't want to go home. They don't go home till the parents are home or gone to sleep, and the parents don't get to sleep until late in the night. They don't want to be there. So this is real. It's our total intention to go back next summer. To take what we learned and to move on. So we'll be, after Christmas, we'll probably be starting preparations for that. I'll let, once we get ready, I'll let Joel just introduce this and what happened. And
so when we went on our trip, we had seen Cochrane do a play similar to this, so we decided to do one ourselves. And we were planning, like, we're going to have our youth rally and everything. And then, so we kind of were, like, planning it all. And then Dave told us, like, he's like, well, where would we do it? Like, because the mayor there doesn't like Christians at all. And, like, he didn't want us, like, to do anything like that. But so we couldn't do, like, an actual youth rally. So what we did was we had planned this whole play. And what we did was we went to the gym. And it was kind of a cool story because all we had to play, like, music was Beatrice's little iPod speakers, and whenever it would get loud, it would fuzz out. So then we were like, oh, what are we going to do? Like, we can't find anything to play music. And so, like, we were like, the gym people aren't going to allow us to use their stereo at the back. And then me and Beatrice just went nasty. No problem with it at all. He just said, oh, take it. So, like, it was really surprising because, like, that the gym is a government building. And so we did this presentation, and we got, like, mixed reactions. I don't think the kids, like, the people there, like, in the teams and everything exactly, like, I think they were amazed with it and kind of shocked, like, by it. But this one girl there, like, her mom was going to the church there, and, like, she was, like, in tears, and she was asking Steve questions. So it was really worth it just to make that impact on her. Like, the whole trip was totally worth it just to see that. And so this play deals with some of the problems that are going on in Cougar Rapids, and it's kind of watered down compared to what is actually going on, but it's just kind of a symbol of some of the stuff that's going on there.
The reality is, this does happen. But aren't we so blessed that we have a Lord who's willing to take all that hurt and pain away, because it's Him that does it. The one thing I just want to add, that each one of these young people, and I know Don and Wally and Sally and myself, we've seen them grow You've seen them grow in amazing ways. And it's a real encouragement and blessing to see that, because this play does it to me all the time. This is our future. People are young people like this. Thanks, guys. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son for us, and that each and every one of us he has carried to the table. He's given us that blessed hope and assurance that you love us so much, that your Son came and paid the price for us. Father, we thank you for each of these young people, Lord, and what you did in their lives while they were up there, and the encouragement and the blessing that they are. We just pray, Father, that you would continue to be with them, Lord, that you would just hedge them in, put your angels around them, Lord, and protect them. Thank you for them, Father. And thank you, Father, that we did have that opportunity to go up to Great Whale and be there, because all because of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.